So, as I mentioned, we began this journey in the book of Acts way back on January 20th of this year. I wonder how the journey has been for you, for those of you who have been with us through a part or most of it, how you have responded to the story of the book of Acts. I have to say that for me, the preaching through Acts in this way has been a life-giving experience for me. It's been refreshing to come back to this story, which is such a foundational story for our faith. I have learned much through this study. We began our journey way back there in January by noticing that the book of Acts is part two of a two-part story written by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the story, which is called Luke, which is the story of Jesus' time on earth. It's the story of Jesus' work on earth. And what we noticed as we came to the book of Acts is that the book of Acts is also a story of Jesus' work on earth. But it's a story of Jesus' work on earth that's carried out by his followers, by his disciples, because Jesus leaves the earth at the beginning of the story of Acts. And so we noticed a couple of verses. One was right near the beginning of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, where Jesus, this is the resurrected Jesus, who says to his followers and his friends, this is Dr. Luke narrating this, after his suffering, he presented himself to them. So this is Jesus now risen from the dead, presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. And we notice, looking back on this, that this actually becomes a very foundational theme of the whole story of Acts, right? Why is it that Paul is willing to suffer and go through all kinds of hardship? It's because Jesus is alive. So this becomes very important. Jesus gave them many convincing proofs that he really was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and what did he talk about? He spoke about the kingdom of God. This was a favorite theme of Jesus when he was alive. He would often say as he was talking to his friends, the kingdom of God is like this, or the kingdom of God is like that. Or he would say, repent because the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God was a favorite theme of Jesus. And what we find is that he picks this up, and this is what he's talking about to his friends as he begins the book of Acts. We also noticed, as we looked at the beginning of the story, we also looked ahead to a verse in our chapter today, and that is the very last book of Acts, verse 31 of chapter 28. This is now the Apostle Paul, and guess what he's talking about? He is proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And so we concluded as we began the story of Acts that really the whole story of Acts is a story about the kingdom of God. It's really a story about the kingdom of God which Jesus had come to inaugurate, which now takes root in the city of Jerusalem, and it stays in Jerusalem for a few chapters in the early part of Acts, as you remember, and then it breaks out of Jerusalem and begins its journey towards the ends of the earth. And the story of Acts includes the first 30 years of that journey, where the kingdom of God really spreads as far as the city of Rome, which in those days was really the center of the world. Along the way, as we have walked this journey, we've met many characters, many people. These characters have by no means all been perfect people. In fact, some of them have been very broken people. And yet we have seen these people as people who are not perfect, but people who are willing to be used by God and people who are filled by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God comes in a very special way in the book of Acts, and that these people then are used by the Spirit of God to help tell the message of Jesus, to help tell the message of the kingdom of God to those who don't know it. And so we've learned much by paying attention to some of these characters. Some of these people that we've come to know, some of the well-known ones like Peter and Paul, and some of the less-known ones. We've learned many lessons as we've walked through the story with them. I want to suggest that the striking characteristic about the end of the book of Acts is that it doesn't end, I mean. The story really comes to an abrupt finish. One gets the feeling as you read the narrative that Luke is writing and writing and writing, and then all of a sudden he stops. One would expect with a great narrative like the book of Acts, you'd have this crescendo and this climax that would build up and all the threads drawn together into a conclusion. That doesn't really do that in this last section of the book of Acts. The narrative ends because we're in Rome, and that's where Paul wanted to get to. The strong implication of this, which has been observed by many, many people, is that the implication is that the narrative ends, but the story continues. We have, in fact, paid attention to this all along the journey, as we have noticed the story that begins with Jesus giving this commission to his friends, saying, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, and then to the ends of the earth." The story begins there, but it doesn't end in Acts 28. It keeps on going even until today in Bishkek. And so there's a sense in which we continue to live in the story of the book of Acts. Well, this is our last time in the book of Acts, and so just because we can, I want to make use one more time of the visual Bible. You may pick up the fact that I've liked the way they presented the text, and so we're going to use that for these last few verses as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord, because this is just a reading of the text that's acted out for us. I want you to prepare your hearts, especially to pay attention to what Paul is doing here. Pay attention in particular to who Paul sets his heart to reach as he arrives in Rome. Who are the people that he goes after? And notice also that this story, as it's presented to us, has some emotion in Paul. And I believe this emotion is quite appropriate. So let's observe the text. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. And then we'll make some observations briefly following.
When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them,
"My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain."
They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement.
"The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen."
For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Someone was reminding me just the other day about a preacher who got up to preach, and he said, "Would everyone please turn in their Bibles to Acts chapter 29? After a shuffling of papers, he said, "You're right, you won't find Acts chapter 29 in your Bibles, but we are living Acts chapter 29. The narrative finishes, but the story continues. The commission that Jesus gave his followers in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 was this. Jesus said to his friends who were around him, he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then in Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth." And so we realize as this story continues that we are part of this same story. And so I want us to ask the question this morning as we observe that this is a story that continues. I want us to ask the question, how do we live in Acts chapter 29? How do we live in this way of really capturing the idea that we're part of this same story that began when Jesus left this earth and will really come to conclusion when Jesus returns again to this earth? I'd like to briefly notice two verses which, for me, describe what is at the heart of what Paul is doing in this last narrative. As Paul comes to Rome, we note that he goes to the Jews, which is striking, really, because he has become, in a way, an apostle to the Gentiles. And many times he has said, "I'm turning from the Jews and going to the Gentiles." But what we see in this passage yet again is that Paul has a very soft spot in his heart for his own people. He longs for them to believe that Jesus is the Messiah who was promised in the Old Testament. And so he strongly urges them, persuades them to believe. But what's he doing as he does this? We find two verses, verses 23 and 20, and verse 31, at the end of the chapter that say almost the same thing, describe what Paul is doing in two verses with the same words. Verse 23, he witnessed to them, that's these Jewish leaders in that context, explaining about the kingdom of God. And then from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. This was his heart. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to talk about the kingdom of God, which was this favorite topic of Jesus. And then he wanted to persuade them about Jesus. Verse 31, for those 2 years, he proclaimed the kingdom of God. And also taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It's fascinating that Luke should record these two verses with these two elements in each verse. And I want to suggest that these two elements become something of a core for us to embrace, for us to grab a hold of as we consider what is the way in which we carry out the commission of Jesus in this world. We talk about the kingdom of God. We also talk about Jesus in particular. It's like Luke is saying to us, don't separate those two things. Make sure Jesus is always at the center of your conversation. But first we talk about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, when we began this series, we explored this idea for a whole sermon. And I'm not going to take time to go over all of that language again. I just wanted to say that I've been blessed to have a couple of friends over the past number of years in my life who have helped me to think more specifically about this terminology of the kingdom of God and to look at what God is doing in the world and to look at what God is doing in the grand scheme of history through the language of the kingdom of God. It's been a very helpful process for me to understand Scripture, perhaps looking at what has happened in a different light. And so there's many good books that have been written on this topic. There's many ways in which we can explore this idea of the kingdom of God and what did Jesus mean by it when he was talking about it and how does it relate to who we are? How does it relate to who we are as the church, as the body of Christ in this era of history? How do we understand the kingdom of God, which really stretches from the earliest part of history and creation until the new creation? It's the whole story, the kingdom of God. And so let me urge you to, as a follower of Jesus, to become familiar with what the kingdom of God is, to inform yourself. If somebody asked you, what is the kingdom of God? What would you say? How would you describe what the kingdom of God is? How would you describe the rule and the reign of Jesus in your life? And how would you go about explaining that to people? That's what we see Paul doing. He's arguing with them. He is explaining these ideas about the kingdom of God, picking up the stories of Jesus and passing them on to these friends who perhaps had never heard about Jesus and never met him. But we also notice, as Luke records for us here, very specifically, that Paul is talking about the kingdom of God, but in particular, what he's doing is persuading them about Jesus. And it's very important for us, as we understand what is unique about Christian faith, it's the person of Jesus. Paul tells us clearly in one of his letters, in the letter to 1 Corinthians, that if we do not firmly believe in the physical reality of Jesus, of God becoming a man in the person of Jesus, living life on this earth, dying physically on the cross, in dying, taking the penalty for the sin of the whole world upon himself, being dead for 3 days, and then rising from the dead to break the power of death and to offer us the gift of new life. If we don't believe that about the core of Christian faith, then we shouldn't call ourselves followers of Jesus. And so Paul is taking on this task of being one who is sent by Jesus to tell the story of Jesus, to be witnesses to Jesus, to be witnesses to who he is. And so we find this language in both of these verses, where in the context of these Jewish leaders, he is trying to persuade them that this Jesus is the one who is promised in the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment of those promises. And then at the end in verse 31, it's interesting that Luke uses the full title of Jesus here. That he says he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus, we ought to be in this place where we are in increasing measure coming to understand Jesus, coming to know who he is, learning more about him, falling in love with him more and more day by day, and knowing how this relationship with Jesus gets lived out in our day-to-day lives. And so the challenge, I believe, from Dr. Luke here and from Paul as we see his example is for you and I, as we live in Bishkek in 2013, to know how it is that we keep Jesus at the center of our lives and how it is that we keep him kind of on the tip of our tongue in a way, so that when people ask us about what we believe, we can talk about the kingdom of God in ways that are accessible to people. We can talk about Jesus in ways that are simple and yet profound and true and real. This is what I believe is the example of Paul as this story comes to conclusion. So there we have it. We have a story that begins and a story that keeps going. A story that we have the privilege to be a part of. A story that begins in Jerusalem with a conversation between Jesus, the risen Jesus, and his friends. And a story that continues with us who live in relationship with the same risen Jesus, with the same commission to be in this world as representatives of Jesus, to be representatives wherever we live, whatever kind of work we do, whatever kind of school we go to, whatever our life is comprised of in that place of life. We're called to be representatives, witnesses of who Jesus is and what he has done. So it's my prayer as we come to the conclusion of this amazing story, as it's recorded for us here in the book of Acts, that we would take courage in our hearts. That as followers of Jesus, we would become more conscious of our role as witnesses in this world, more conscious of our role as representatives of the kingdom of God, no matter what kind of things we're involved in our lives day by day. Off and on through this series, we have said together the words of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the prayer that we often call the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's very appropriate that we should conclude our study of the book of Acts by saying that together. It's the words that say, "Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so let me invite you as we close our series to stand together, and we will stand together and we will say these words together is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And following that, we're going to sing a couple more songs of worship as the children are going to come in and join us. And then we'll talk about baptism and then have the privilege of celebrating baptism together. And so we say this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours are the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.